Good Tuesday morning. We'll open this morning's Bible school with the singing of hymn 165. After the hymn, we'll ask Brother Rick Bryan for an opening prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way, thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Hymn 165.
Our most righteous and eternal Heavenly Father, to whom all honor and glory is due, do we approach unto thee at this time. We're thankful to thee for all the blessings that thou bestowest upon us each and every day. And especially now are we thankful for the teachers which have prepared lessons for us. We pray that we would be attentive and have ears open to understanding. Be with us always, and we ask this prayer even through thy Son, Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen.
This morning's exhortation will be given by Brother Frank Kaiser. His subject, Our City of Refuge. Brother Frank.
Good morning. Good morning. I'll do the same thing that previous... Is that too loud? Previous speakers have done and issue a hello from the Richmond Hall Ecclesia. And Lord willing, if we're still around in December... Issue the invitation to attend our year-end gathering. It's the first time since the late 70s that my sister wife has been here with me. I came last year for the first time in the same number of years, and I enjoyed it so much, and I was happy that I convinced her to come back with me. To echo Brother Jason's comment yesterday morning, I never realized how difficult it was to try to cram something into 20 minutes. And I hope I don't overstep that time limit, but the announcements went on a little bit longer than I was hoping. And I'll try not to read too fast, but I don't have any PowerPoints or anything else. I will issue a quick apology to the folks from Richmond who've heard part of these remarks before. So if you get up and leave, I understand why. Everybody in this room has got a story, every one of you, how you came to be here. And I don't mean that you took Interstate 64 from Virginia or whatever route it was that you got here from Arkansas or Colorado, but what the impetus was that... not ended up, but the reason that you're here today, somewhere it started, and something piqued your interest. My dad died when I was 4, and my grandmother, Sister Beulah Kaiser, I think attended this Bible school quite a bit, but anyway, she made sure that I got to Sunday school, and so I guess that's where it started for me. When I was doing my CO work down in Norfolk, I used to get coffee in the morning at a pharmacy that was right next to a small office, and I would park my car on the other side of that office so that I'd have to walk by that office and see this real nice-looking young lady that sat by the window with beautiful blue eyes. And we met sometime after that, and... she enjoyed the young people at the Ecclesia in Norfolk when we hung out with them, took classes with Brother Tony Giordano, and was immersed. And 51 years ago, on the Sabbath that the Six-Day War in Israel ended, she agreed to be my wife. So that's how she came to be here. So we all have... those same kind of stories. For the only time, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the Psalms today, Psalm 8. I'm just going to read a few verses in there. I'm going to try to condense as much as I can to make the time limit that I've told I have to adhere to. And I may not wait for everybody to turn your pages and get there. The 8th Psalm. O Yahweh, our Adon, or ruler, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You can keep that word avenger in the back of your mind, too, as we talk. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We have talked heard a little bit, the two classes yesterday, about the magnitude of the heavens and the universe and the vast number of stars. I think Brother Harold Lafferty told me that he had read it was 300 septillion stars was the estimate, 21 zeros behind that. It makes you wonder, it makes me wonder, as ornery as I am, for what reason Yahweh has remembered me. Maybe it should make all of us think, as insignificant as we are, considering the universe that he created, why are we remembered? In that particular fourth verse, the word for man is Strong's number 582. It's Enosh, the way it's pronounced. Mindful is Strong's 2142, Zakar. Enosh means mortal, and mindful means, or Zakar means to remember. So what is mortal man, that we should be remembered by the Creator, the ruler of the entire universe? What are we? For a few minutes this morning, we're going to talk, and I hope not too fast, about just one way that we are remembered. The subject was our city of refuge. And I figure that probably the vast majority of the people in this room are better suited to talk on this subject than I am. It's something I've got to confess that was not a prime interest of me when I read it. I'm hoping that the young people, and I don't mean, when I say young people, I don't mean to infer that you don't have any knowledge of it, but it may be something that you've not thought about a lot. Our city of refuge, and what the cities of refuge were and what they stood for. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized how absolutely important it is. And so many little things intricately woven into that account. When somebody asks you, what is the gospel, you instantaneously say the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody would argue with that. This day and time, young people, so many people in the world will tell you that it's not necessary for you to pay any attention to the Old Testament. The New Testament's all you got to worry about. The Old Testament is passé. It doesn't really mean anything. Well, to use proper English, that ain't so. That's a bunch of tommy rot. When you think about the gospel, the territory that it comprises, the ruler, the subjects, everything about it, if you don't think that that's taught in the Old Testament over and over and over and over again, something's not right. The gospel is taught in the Old Testament. The gospel, in essence, is taught in the cities of refuge. A little background on the cities of refuge, and I'm going to read these things so we won't have to continue to turn them up. And you'll find that from Genesis through the Apocalypse, cities of refuge are alluded to, if not flat out mentioned. Genesis 9:6, Noah was told by Yahweh when he got off the ark, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of the Elohim made he man." From Exodus 21:12-13, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but Elohim deliver him into his hand, then will I appoint thee a place whither thou shalt flee." The example given in Deuteronomy is of a fellow out in the woods with his fellows chopping wood. He takes a swing with his axe, the head flies off his axe and kills one of his fellow workers. Well, he better get out of there, because that fellow's avenger, his next of kin or whatever, had the right under the law to kill him. So provisions were made for there to be cities of refuge, 6 out of the 48 that were given to the Levites. The way was made plain for them to get there, roads so that they could get there and get there in a hurry. When he got to the city of refuge, some other things would happen. But anyway, that was the reason that the cities of refuge were put there. You didn't intend to do it, but you did it. We're in the same situation, are we not? We're not guilty of the infraction of Adam and Eve, but we suffer the consequences. So think about it, young people. We have a city of refuge to go to. In Numbers 35, we're told, if you want to turn it up at some point in time, the layout of those 6 cities. But with reference to that, I will turn, and I'll just read from the 20th chapter of Joshua. It's not but about 9 verses. And it reads, Yahweh spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. When he that doth flee unto one of these cities, and when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, he shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. That ought to be something else that triggers a thought in your mind, the death of the high priest. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and unto his own house and the city from whence he fled. So this is an account of the cities. They appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger, that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares may flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. So we're going to go through and just read some of the meanings for the cities and where they were located. So bear with me. Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali. Okay, Kadesh, sanctuary, set apart, sanctify. Galilee, circle, a circuit, implying eternity. Naphtali, wrestling. Shechem, between the shoulders, a place of burden. Mount Ephraim, be fruitful. Kirjath Arba, city of 4, also with references to the building of a city. Hebron, seat of association and fellowship. Judah, he shall be praised. Bezer, an inaccessible spot, fenced, mighty, or stronghold. Reuben, behold a son. Ramoth, heights, exalted, elevation. Gad, a troop. Gilead, heap of testimony, a memorial. Golan, exile, captive, deliver, cause to rejoice. And Manasseh, forget or forgetting. I've never had the knack for putting these kind of things together as some people do to make phrases and sentences and so forth. So I'm going to read a couple for you that other brethren have done. First one is a little longer than the others. To consecrate unto eternal life through wrestling, bearing the burden and being fruitful, giving praise through the Messiah, a believer is inducted into the 4-square city of the future, and enjoying fellowship with the Father and Son is drawn to praise them. Protection is afforded those who clearly see and understand the relationship of the Father and Son in its bearing upon those called to be saved. The promise of elevation with a company of witnesses to the truth, rejoicing through deliverance and a fertile inheritance, causing one to forget the past. A little shorter one, Yahweh will set apart and make holy all who look for support to the burden bearer and will cause them to join in fellowship, protecting them and elevating them to the glory of the kingdom age, thus delivering them from sin and death, causing them to rejoice. And even more concisely, the name of the cities. A refuge, the name of the cities of refuge, tell us that we will be consecrated, made holy, sustained, united in fellowship, protected, exalted, delivered, causing us to rejoice. As I said before, it actually affords you a picture of the gospel. So don't be like I was and think that it's not an interesting subject or something that you can find a lot more out of, because I'm sure that I've still got a whole lot more studying to do on it. When you look at a map, you could draw a rough circle connecting all those cities, which again reminds us that Yeshua the Messiah is continually encircling us, protecting us, and affording those things that we read and outlined in the names of the various cities, mountains, and territory. Why were six chosen? Was it to bring attention to man? The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, six being the biblical number of man. It brings attention to us and the hopelessness, I guess you could say, of our situation outside of our city of refuge. Leviticus 17:11 states, the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you drain the blood from a man or beast, it dies. But there's a lot more that needs to be considered than just that. We can cut ourselves. In my case, since I take warfarin, if I cut myself, I bleed a lot. But I don't die. I'm still living. So blood, therefore, is no more the life of the flesh than many other parts of our bodies that could be taken out and we're going to die. So there's got to be a lot more spiritual significance to that blood than what we want to think of right off the bat. Also keep this in mind. The flesh is a technical term in Scripture, a technical term. Paul, in his writings to the assembly at Rome, makes it very clear in chapter 8 that the believer has two motivating principles warring inside each of us. The Jewish Bible, verses 5 through 8 in that chapter read, for those who identify with their old nature set their minds on the things of the old nature, but those who identify with the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Thus, those who identify with their old nature cannot please God. These facts that Paul is speaking of have been an unfortunate feature of our life's experience since Adam and Eve caused it to become part of our nature. Under the Mosaic law, all blood had to be accounted for, even animal blood. There were ordinances that had to be observed whether an animal was killed for food or for sacrifices. If those things were needed for an animal, how much more careful account should be taken for human blood? As we read earlier, blood could be shed in two ways, either by accident or deliberately. If it was murder, there was no question. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Find that in Numbers 35:16. He was or could be put to death by the avenger if he was caught. This principle was delivered to Noah after he left the ark, and we read that earlier, 9:6, that whoso sheddeth man's blood by his blood, by man's blood shall he be shed. So we find that in the verses that we've read so far and will continue to read, avenger as well as revenger are both the same word in Strong's. It's number 1350. And it means to redeem, to be the next of kin, or to buy back. So, boy, you can associate that with Yeshua the Messiah also in its connection to being our city of refuge. The word is pronounced Gaal, G-A-W-A-L. I think it's spelled G-A-A-L, but Gaal. The reading that we did in Genesis 9:6, however, it doesn't differentiate between murder and accidental killing. That's the beginning, as we said, of incidents that would tend to culminate in the city of refuge, but it didn't differentiate at that time. So there was a risk of someone losing his life by an accidental killing, that he could lose his life due to an unfortunate understanding, let's say. In the proper application of the law of refuge, when the accused manslayer stood before a tribunal of the people, we find two principles at work. The manslayer's life was not jeopardized by an arbitrary action of an avenger, and the question of intent was decided by an impartial group or a judge. Even after being cleared by this tribunal, as it were, the innocent manslayer was required to reside in this city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Could either be a short amount of time or a long time, depending, of course, on the age of the high priest. If he left this city of refuge, his life would be forfeit. Before the death of the high priest, if he left, his life could be forfeit. The lesson to that is that once we've gotten to this city of refuge, don't leave it. We pray for those in the brotherhood who have, so to speak, left, and pray that they can get back before this typical avenger of blood takes its toll. Stay in the city of refuge. Some of the spiritual lessons that we can take from the law of refuge: the six cities link with the sixth commandment and emphasize all that is man. They're protected from the slayer, sin, which would bring death, as long as they remain in this city where refuge is granted. That protection lasts as long as the high priest lives, but the high priest of our profession never dies. If they leave the protection laid down in the terms of the agreement they've made with Yeshua as a Savior, or indeed if people decide never to appeal for deliverance, they will perish under the old sentence of death. In effect, the work of the high priest and sacrifice covered the sin of those who come in faith before Yahweh, seeking his mercy. Although the ritualistic sacrifices served as a constant reminder of sin year by year, the perfect sacrifice of Yeshua, which was achieved by total obedience and the shedding of his own blood, inaugurated a new covenant by which sin could be forgiven. So whilst in Adam all die in the Messiah, shall all be made alive. Although believers deserve to die, they are given grace in the Messiah, Yeshua. The sentence is stayed because they have shown that their sin was unwilling, and they wait for final judgment that will say whether or not they will live in the city of Yahweh or be turned aside to suffer the consequences of our willful actions. That opportunity is there for all, no matter what our circumstances, background, weakness, or personality. What we cannot do, Yahweh in Yeshua the Messiah can, if we, for our part, put our faith in him. So the cities also have their counterpart in salvation in the Lord Yeshua. We have a stronghold set aside for our deliverance, a high calling to fellowship guaranteed by the one who bears all of our burdens, Yeshua the Messiah. And I'm going to close by reading the Apocalypse, and I apologize to Jim. I tried to read quickly. The Apocalypse, the 5th chapter, the 9th verse, again, is just another reminder. I said earlier that from Genesis through the Apocalypse, there are references and intertwinings of all of this. Chapter 5, Frank, not 3. Verse 9, talking about the living ones and the 24 elders that fell down before him. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Thanks, and I'm sorry I held you up.